You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
I really do feel that Mary had a role in bringing me back to the Catholic Church.
He reminded me that Mary was my mom.
I always felt upon if I needed a desperate prayer, I always called to Mary.
I could see that Mary had a hand in this.
She began to speak to my heart.
Mary's Touch, real-life stories of Mary's love.
Hi, this is Sherry Lamonte.
And I'm Father Jim Evans.
Welcome to Mary's Touch, the show that brings you real-life stories of Mary's love. You're listening to and learning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. In this year, 2016, Mary's Touch is celebrating its 10th anniversary. We have been broadcasting Mary's Touch once a week since 2006. You've heard over 850 stories about Mary's love, grace, and mercy. Every show was a testament about Mary and the fact that she takes us right to her son, Jesus. We want to thank all our storytellers for sharing some of their most profound moments with us.
Well, the Mary's Touch stories are from real life. The stories relate the experiences of people who, in unique and desperate situations, have invoked the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and received her help in many ways. In celebration of our anniversary, we have taken 10 of our stories, and now, in a little different way, we present them one at a time. And over the next 10 months, as our gift to you, you will hear these stories. Thank you for your patronage all these years.
Captain Al Fuentes is now a retired New York City firefighter and was acting battalion chief of the Fire Department of New York Marine Division. Al Fuentes was one of the first responders to reach the World Trade Center following the attacks on September 11, 2001. This is his story. Al noticed that morning, September 11th, that it was a beautiful day and how clear the sky was and the lower Manhattan skyline looked like a jewel. At 8 that morning, he heard a noisy commotion in the office lobby. Kathleen, his secretary, suddenly burst into his office and cried, "Captain, a plane has hit the North Tower." It was such a clear day. How could a plane possibly crash into the Trade Center? Looking across the harbor, he could see the North Tower involved with flames and petroleum-based smoke coming from the upper portion of the building. He thought quickly and calculated what he had to do. How much manpower would he need? What hospitals could the injured be taken to? This would be a huge effort, since there's never been in the history of New York City a high-rise with that type of fire and the numerous floors that were involved. Al responded to the fire by putting fire boats on the east and west sides of Lower Manhattan. As he and his men came around the tip of Lower Manhattan, he noticed another plane, a commercial plane, and it was flying extremely low. He remembered thinking, "What is this guy doing?" As he asked himself that question, the plane made a 180-degree turn and flew directly above his boat. At that moment, the plane banked, and right before his eyes, it crashed into the South Tower. The fireball that erupted was incredible, and it was then he realized America was under attack. He saw his friend, the chief of special operations, and another good friend, the chief of the department. They all realized that they were against something they had never faced before. Suddenly, they all heard an explosion, and another, and another. What was happening? Civilians were jumping out of the buildings and exploding as they hit cars in the street and building canopies, and they just kept on coming. Al couldn't get into the buildings fast enough to help those poor people in there. One group of six individuals, holding hands to support each other, jumped, the women with their dresses flying up over their heads. And at that moment, Al fully understood that these people were making the decision on how they were going to die. And Al thought, well, at least they had found some solace in holding hands and staying together. It was almost too much to bear, and that image, that will be forever etched in Captain Al's memory. Within a few minutes, Al observed the South Tower starting to lean, and he quickly ran into the underground area because he knew there wouldn't be much time now. After 20 steps, Al heard a terrible roar, leaned next to a wall, and thought, I'm going to die here. He thought about his wife and kids and instinctively put his hands over his head. His faith came into play and he started reciting the Hail Mary. He said over and over, Hail Mary, full of grace, Hail Mary, full of grace. He kept saying it louder and louder as the noise increased, and suddenly he didn't feel alone. He had the Blessed Mother and his faith. He would survive. As he climbed out of the rubble, he had to put his bunker gear over his face. There was no fresh air to breathe. Al made his way to Bessie Street. He couldn't believe what he saw. It was something that looked like a combat zone. Al saw his co-worker Ray Downing coming toward him. We just lost a lot of good men. Ray said there was a lot of people trapped in what was left of the Marriott lobby. Only a few people could get out at a time because there was so much debris and jumpers still coming down. Al started walking towards the people he could see, and then he heard the noise again, the sound of the freight train, and he turned in its direction just as the North Tower began its collapse. There was no place to run. Al fell to his knees, put his hands on his head, and began once again praying, Hail Mary, full of grace, because this time he knew he was a goner. Al was buried alive for about 2 hours. He was found by some firefighters who had responded from his home unit. His scalp was off, he had 9 broken ribs, and his left lung had collapsed. Both lungs were burned from exposure to fumes and chemical reactions from the debris of the fallen towers, along with numerous other injuries. When they were finally able to extricate him, they transported Al in a basket over to a waiting fireboat, where a priest gave him the last rites. He had immediate attention at the hospital and was put into a drug-induced coma for the next 2 weeks. Al recovered. He said he had been given another chance at life, and the Blessed Mother has become special to him. He says Our Lady keeps touching his life. He told me she spared me and helped me in so many ways, so I reach out to her and talk to her quite often.
Hail Mary. Words that we hear very often, especially at times of reflection or special devotion, in Catholic churches, Orthodox churches, especially Roman Catholic churches all around the world. We just heard the story of a first responder, and part of his response, as you heard in the story, was Hail Mary. He was responding, but in a way that he was trained to do, and in a way you might say he was also trained through his faith to respond with the Hail Mary. And so as he set out on that particular day to help others, to save others, he called upon the Mother of Jesus to help him, to keep him safe as he put his life on the line. He was on his way, responding in a way that he knew well, but I'm sure with fear, hope, trust, more fear, more hope, responding, reacting, all of those things that we do in our lives, because we do respond in some way to each and every situation. Now, thanks be to God, the majority of us will never have to respond in the way that Al had to respond. He was a trained firefighter. This was his job, his chosen job, a vocation. He had been trained in it well. He had risen to a level of responsibility. He took it very seriously, and he was willing to give what it took to fulfill his obligations in that responsible position. And so he responded. And with that response, he placed himself in a position to see horror. He saw people dying. As he reflected later, he knew that he had watched people choose the way that they would die. They didn't choose to die. They chose a way that they knew death would result. They could have stayed inside, burned, become overcome with smoke and fumes, hit by debris, fallen through a floor, killed by glass. I don't know by what. Al didn't know either, but he knew that they didn't have long to make a decision. And we'll never know what went through their minds and in their hearts as they were falling through space, or as those who were injured and had to stay behind and see death coming their way. We don't know what was in their minds and their hearts. We hope and pray that their last thoughts were with the love of God. And there are some we know well, will say that God was at fault. We know better than that. But anger is a response in itself, isn't it? Sometimes people respond out of desperation and anger, and they accuse God of things that God is not capable of, because God is love. God is pure love, and out of God's love comes only goodness. The evil that is allowed but not caused by our loving God. In the same way that so many of our actions in our lives are the result of our free will being exercised. So here we have a situation where whatever it is that we're doing is given to us freely by our loving God, and we use the resources and we make decisions. Some people on that fateful day when the towers came down had chosen to do something very evil. They had taken innocent lives. They took these lives out of hatred, out of anger, out of things that I cannot even begin to imagine. What causes anyone to go into the darkness of evil so deeply that they take human life? Al was there to rescue, to help, to offer himself. He knew in his heart, I'm sure, and he knows it to this day, that his response of Hail Mary was a result of a faith that had been taught to him from his earliest moments in this world. It was a faith that taught the sacrifice of the Son of God for the salvation of all who would come to him, of all who would choose goodness over evil, a sacrifice on the cross, one that offered forgiveness. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Some ask, how do you forgive people who knew what they did and they chose to do evil? And yet we know that our loving God offers forgiveness at all times to all people. It is their decision based on the loving gift of God, free will. And so here's Al responding, going to help, being caught in the evil that was falling all around him, being trapped, buried alive for over 2 hours, coming out very injured, crying in his heart for all of those who had been injured, killed, and leaped to their death, who had burned to death, who had fallen within the building, those who had been injured by debris that was all over the place, fumes that had burned the insides of their bodies, flames that burned from the outside, horror all around. This was evil in its manifestation that is horrible to imagine and had to be horrible to witness. And so as we look at this and we try to contemplate the love of God, it may be difficult to see through all of the evil that existed on that day in a most spectacular, horrible manner. And yet we see the love of God in the very being of someone like Al, who knew the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, "Greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his brother." Al knew that that might be something he was asked to do that day, and he went about his task knowing that that could be the result, but willing to do so if God chose. And you say, God chose? God didn't choose to take a life like that. No. God would allow. Part of God's love. And those who would say, how can God's love be in such an act? A terrible death. And we say, God allows. Part of our faith structure, isn't it? How do we respond to that? Al Fuentes responded by saying, "Hail Mary, full of grace." And we know the rest of it. We know the Hail Mary. We've said it so many times. It comes out as a first response. And so, to God's love, we become first responders. And with that first response, we know that it might also be our last response. And could there be a better last response than to let God know that God's love is being returned? All that we ever have to offer God are gifts from God. And we should always give to God all praise, all honor, and all glory. And as we make the gift back to God, we thank God for those gifts. And as we prepare ourselves to live a life according to God's plan, God's love, God's will for us, it should always be our greatest desire to serve as strongly and with all that we are, to serve in God's kingdom for God's kingdom. And to know that the garden that we cultivate upon this earth is God's garden. And we are privileged to be able to work in it. And so we ask ourselves, what can I do? What can I do for the kingdom of God? How can I serve? How can I be part of God's love? And the answer has to be by accepting it and being willing to give it back and to share it with all that we come into contact with, just as Al Fuentes was willing to share his love of God with all others and demonstrate that love by offering to help, being there for them in whatever ways are possible, were possible. And so we, in our reflection upon his story, Al's story, we ask ourselves, how are we serving God's kingdom? And we learn from these. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And so, my friends, with the response given to us by a loving God, we rejoice with Al that his response was Hail Mary. We think in terms of the Holy Family as we look at the families here upon this earth, and we see love and joy, and we see pain and sorrow, and through it all we see the love of God. And out of that love comes our ability to love, and our ability is a God-given gift to respond in a way that shows our love for all of our brothers and sisters. And our Lord taught us to love one another even as He has loved us. And out of that love, we come to share in the story of the love of God who created all. All is good. God is good. Evil is the absence of God. A void. It is one of those horrible, horrible vacuums. Loving God fills all possibilities of the promise of eternal life. And with that eternal life comes the ultimate gift of our loving God, a pure gift offered to each and every one. All of those who suffered death on that horrible day when Al went to help them have known and been offered the love of God. And we in our prayers offer our help to them. We learn from the acts of heroes who went to their aid, who died in the service of love of brother and sister. And we pray for all of those who have gone into the eternal reward on that day through an evil act of evil people. And we respond as first responders out of love. And with that love, we are so honored and privileged to know people like Al who have taught us the value of our faith, who have demonstrated it to the ultimate. And we say along with all of them, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And we ask Mary to always be there introducing us over and over to her Son. Her Son offers Himself from the cross for our salvation. Blessed be God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Chan, for your reflection. This might be the time now to also talk about our Faith and Freedom Minute. And Father Jim, would you like to introduce that?
Yes, Sherry. Thank you very much. One of my brother knights in the Knights of Columbus is Doug Oldmixon, and his Faith and Freedom moment is a real blessing in our lives.
Writer Ramesh Panuru recently suggested that our duty in civic discourse is to propose ideas, defend them in debate, and invite others to agree with them, never to seek to impose them by force, to win at any cost. The path of forceful imposition is a form of tyranny, which is always a direct contravention of essential human dignity. The Church gently reminds us that every human is endowed with free will, the liberty to choose truth or to reject it, whether through ignorance or even intentionally. As Catholics and as Knights of Columbus, it is our duty to faithfully and persistently proclaim and defend the truth we believe. Will you join us?
You know, I'll never forget Al Fuentes' story. And to this day, you know, I know we pray for everyone who was involved in what went on September 11th, 2001. But I have a picture in my mind of Al Fuentes being covered in dust and debris and not being able to breathe and falling on his knees and praying to Mary in what for sure he thought was going to be his death. And so that he did live and was kind enough to share his story with us, I think is a very remarkable feat in itself. And I know you never forget something like that when that happens to you. So I think a prayer for Al Fuentes and all the first responders of that day is appropriate. Before we end this show, Father Jim, and say a prayer, and I just want to remember all the first responders of September 11th, 2001. So we invite you to share your Mary story with us, and you can write us at marystouch.org. I also always want to thank our Knight of Columbus, Doug Oldmixon, for his Faith and Freedom Minute. And so remember to go to our website, marystouch.org, for links and information about the story you heard today. And we have a new website in celebration of our 10th anniversary. So check us out and let us hear from you. Father, your last thoughts and blessing.
Sherry, God's blessing is always with us, and we invoke that special blessing upon those we love and those that we know exist out there in what we jokingly sometimes refer to as radio land. But these are our special listeners, our friends and neighbors and wonderful people who share the faith and those who are seeking the faith. And through stories like you share, they share with us on Mary's Touch, we have the opportunity to see others drawn to the faith. And out of that is a super blessing. And upon all of those who are responding, our first responders, our 1,000th responders, however many times you have responded, never stop responding to the love of God. And you will have more love to share than you have ever imagined, because that love passes all understanding. And that love which passes all understanding is what we now ask God to share and to bestow upon each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
This program is produced by Mary's Touch, a nonprofit corporation dedicated to bringing you the love of Mary and her Son, Jesus. If you have questions, comments, or a story to share, write to us at Mary's Touch, P.O. Box 341991, Austin, Texas 78734, or email radio@marystouch.org. For more stories or to find out more about Mary, visit our website at marystouch.org.
You're listening to Mary's Touch Radio. Our program is entirely listener-supported through generous donations from listeners like you. Discover and explore our entire archive of inspirational content at marystouch.org. And thank you for your support.